Praise God for His Word. Amen. Good to see you this morning. Amen. I have to try not to dread the week after Easter because there's always a lot of people gone. Whatever, I don't know why it's the week after Easter, but it happens. But you're here. Look at the person next to you and say, I'm glad you're here. Yeah. Important people. I want you to turn with me in the book of Luke, chapter 24. Book of Luke, chapter 24. How many notice there's an awful lot of activity around the world right now? There's a lot of collisions taking place. And we have to understand that nothing happens, that none of this surprises God. And God, He's the one that turns the hearts of kings. Yeah. And so we're on a ride right now, and it's going to be quite a ride, but there's purpose. I want you, everybody say with me, purpose. God has purpose in what He's doing. God has purpose in the things that are taking place. And a lot of times we don't understand the purpose behind it, but we misconceive. We're going to be talking today about the size of our vision, the size of our purpose, the size of what is it that you're looking for. And I want you to look with me in Luke chapter 24, start with verse 13. It says, now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. Now this is after Jesus rose from the dead. And he just kind of appeared to different people, just kind of spontaneous. As I was reading this, I began to think, why these two people? Because we've never heard of these people before, and yet they were disciples. And the one of them's name was Cleopas. I didn't, you know, you don't read about Cleopas anywhere except for this one place. But Jesus came and joined Himself to him. And but it says in verse 16, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know Him. And He said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to Him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem and have you not known the things which happen here in these days? And He said to them, what things? You ever felt like God was setting you up? A lot of times He will ask leading questions to get you to reveal your heart, even though He knows the answer. And Jesus, I mean, He's the one that went through all this stuff. And He said, what things? So they said to Him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and crucified Him, but we were hoping that it was He who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find His body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said He was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but Him they did not see. Then He said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. I want to stop right there and back up to verse 21. It says, but we were hoping that it was He who is going to redeem Israel. We were hoping. A lot of times, we don't see the big picture of what God is doing. We see our small picture. The people of Israel did not understand the vision that God had for them. They didn't understand the purpose that God had for them. They didn't understand how that God was wanting to do more than what they could comprehend. He said, we were hoping that He was going to restore Israel. Israel had been under the pressure of the Roman Empire. And, of course, everyone in that area was at that time. And the Romans were very oppressive, and they ruled over them, and they taxed them, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And they wanted to be free from this, and they wanted to be free from the oppression of the Romans. And they wanted God to deliver them, like they had read about in the prophets, how that different times God would come in and deliver Israel from the hands of the enemy. And, you know, in all kinds of ways, you read about the different ways that God delivered the children of Israel, and He never used the same thing once. Sometimes He used singers, sometimes He caused them to turn against themselves, sometimes, you know, all different types of ways. And here Israel was hoping that this prophet, this miracle worker, was going to redeem Israel. In other words, going to set them free from Roman oppression. But Jesus didn't come just for the little sliver of land called Israel. That's where He wanted to start at. And as we read, even in Revelation, Jerusalem is very important to God. Territory is important to God. Amen. Matter of fact, we're living in a day when God is beginning to reclaim territory. And the church is beginning to reclaim territory. Amen. God, there's two sides to the kingdom of God. There's the redemptive side that reaches for lost humanity, and then there's the reclaiming side that reclaims territory for God. And there's two different aspects of that. The apostolic anointing is focused mostly on retaking territory. And then you have the pastoral and evangelistic side that is redeeming of humanity. And the two work together and begin to, as God begins to deliver territory or take back territory, people begin to be born again. They begin to come back to God. And so the two work hand in hand. So God was concerned about Israel, but He had a greater vision for Israel. These men said, we were hoping that this man, this prophet, this miracle worker would redeem Israel. And God was looking to Israel to be a part of the redeeming of all humanity. You understand what I'm talking about? See, God didn't raise up Israel to be an isolated little bless me club that kept God all boxed in. What God's purpose for Israel was to be evangelists to reach the whole world. Amen. That's why that He went through all the steps that He went through in the Old Testament and were leading up and the prophecies. But when it came down to it, they denied Him, and because they were looking for a king, and He came as a lamb. They were looking for a conqueror, and it appeared that He was conquered. Because they couldn't see, their perception was so blurred by their immediate need that they couldn't see where God was taking them. How many times do we get so isolated in our needs that we can't see that God has a purpose? Amen. You remember, been a long time ago, I did preached a message on the realm of God and the dot. And there's this little dot in this big, huge circumference of God's blessing and all the provision God has made out here. And then I put this one little dot right in the middle, had it up on the screen, had this one little dot right in the middle, and had an arrow pointed to it, and it said, the size of your problems. And the power of problems, the power of trouble, is that it shrinks you from this huge circumference of God's blessing and power, and it brings you down to where you end up living in that little dot. And you want God to get in your little dot with you and meet your need. What God wants to do is get you out of your little dot, back into the hugeness of His world, and you'll find out that He's big enough for your problems. He can handle whatever's coming. And so we get shrunk down, and if we're not careful, we lose sight of purpose because we become so obsessed and focused on need. Immediate need. Right now. I need this right now. I want this right now. Americans are the most impatient, I want it now type of people. I've traveled all over the world, and we are the most nervous people on the face of the planet. I mean, we are nervous all the time, you know, nervous. How many realize that you're probably nervous? What are we nervous about? What are we anxious about? Did you know that young people, they call them millennials, are having a hard time getting anywhere because it's going to take too long to get there? There's actually young people that work at a job for 3 months and quit because they said, I don't feel like I'm going anywhere. 3 months. They feel like they should have progressed already. They should have been a manager already. They should be rich already. Because, hey, I work. You know, I got a job. I should have all the money I need. Impatient. Demanding. I need this right now. You talk to them about a 20-year plan, and that's not, they want a 20-minute plan. Right now, you know, they want you to, matter of fact, they want to be leaders without learning how to lead. Amen. We got a few of you guys here. You have to learn that our impatience is robbing us of our purpose. Because if we can't see beyond what we want right now or what we need right now, then we will never be able to get anywhere, and your purpose will always be out of reach, and you'll always be fantasizing about someday I'm going to get there. Someday I'm going to do this. Someday I'm going to, you know, and we can never get there because purpose takes focus and commitment. And you have to be able to see beyond what's happening right now, what's going on today, and you've got to be able to see the plan. Because if you're not careful, what's happening today will sidetrack you and cause your plan to be delayed because you take a detour. Amen. And so God has a plan. God has a purpose. And if we're not patient enough to let Him work His purpose in us, the Bible talks about that. If we're not able to stay focused, then we're always going to be chasing our needs. When if we'll stay focused on purpose, our purpose will take care of our needs. Amen. Your purpose is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean a real relationship with Jesus. I'm talking about one that you can talk to Him like a friend, and you're not going around wondering if He's listening. God, are you just not listening to me today? Well, sure He is. The problem is you're not listening because you're so obsessed with whether He's listening or not. Is He trying to demand Him to show you something or do something to show that He's listening? A relationship. Our greatest purpose in life is to have a close, meaningful relationship so that we know our Heavenly Father and He is and there's no distance. Amen. That's the greatest purpose anybody can have. But a lot of people determine their relationship with God on what's happening right now. Today. If God doesn't meet my needs today, then my relationship is going to be shipwrecked tomorrow, because my what determines whether I'm in relationship today or tomorrow is determined by whether God takes care of my needs today. No long-range plan. No long-range purpose. Amen. Your purpose has to be that I am a child of God, and I am committed to God regardless of what happens. Amen. Praise God. I was talking to somebody today about, you know, people talking about being offended and stuff. I never saw that as an option. I never saw it as an option to get my feelings hurt and quit on God. That's strange to me. I can't wrap my mind around that. That I actually have an option to decide that I'm just not gonna live for God anymore because I got done wrong. You can't explain it to me. Because I don't see it. I don't see options. And Christian people should not see options. Matter of fact, if you're going to accomplish something, you have to cut out all your options. Oh, that makes us nervous, doesn't it? We live in a society that always has an escape route for everything that they are doing. It's gotten to the point now where people in the dating world, the younger people, have this thing called cushioning. Cushioning means that I might be in a relationship with this person, but secretly I keep other people tagging along just in case this things don't go right here. I have an immediate plan B. And so they keep all these plates spinning just in case it doesn't work out here. I can immediately, tomorrow night, I'll be on a date with this person because I got them on the string, you know. And it's this thing of not being able to commit beyond today. Amen. If you're going to be a successful Christian, you're going to have to learn that today is just a small spot in eternity. Amen. And if we will survive today. I mean, we'll get through it. It's okay. It's okay. I have lived days that I thought was never going to end. You know, they just keep, it's like, you know, glad when you finally get to go to sleep and wake up the next morning. I've lived those kind of days. But I also know that today is just a small speck in the eternity of my life. Amen. You are an eternal being. Amen. You're going to live forever. When your heart stops beating here as a child of God, you don't even stop. You just keep going. How do you explain heaven? How do you explain what God has for us? I was watching a video the other day of a little guy in Africa that died. His mom took him to the doctor. He was very sick. And the doctor said there's nothing I can do for him. He had asthma real bad, had some other stuff wrong with him. And the doctor said, just take him back home. There's nothing I can do. On the way home, he died. And in their culture, that they were not allowed, it was a Friday, and you couldn't bury anybody on a Friday. You know, where that come from, who knows? I mean, you know, it's bad luck to start a journey on a Sunday. People get crazy about stuff. But somehow, they come up with this thing that, you know, in their culture that, you know, you don't bury anybody on a Friday. You have to wait till Monday. No, I guess the weekend was out. And so this little boy on a Friday, on the way back home, he died in his mother's arms. She got back to the village. She was heartbroken. And they put him on the ground and wrapped him up. And they called a minister. Somebody said, we need to call this preacher. And he, you know, come over and minister to us. And he came over and he prayed with them. And he shared the word with them. And he brought a television set, and started playing testimonies from CBN, the 700 Club. He worked for the 700 Club. And he had these videos, and he set up a TV in this village. Looked kind of funny, this TV, you know, mud huts and a TV sitting out there. And he set up this TV and began to just play these testimonies. And as they were playing these testimonies, it had been 24 hours since this little boy died. He was still laying there underneath the tree, wrapped up in a blanket. 24 hours later, listen to these testimonies. All of a sudden, that blanket started moving. And little guy gets up. Comes back to life. 24 hours after he died. And just listen to these testimonies. And people were just sitting there, you know, in this village, watching this TV, listening to these testimonies. And somehow, without anybody praying for him or anything, this little guy, the blanket starts stirring. He gets up. He's healed. And they ask him, they said, what were you doing during that time? He said, I was playing football. He said, what do you mean you was playing? We call it soccer. He said, I was playing a game of soccer with a bunch of other kids. And he said, I scored a field goal. And when I scored the field goal, they told me, they said, now you have to go back home. And he said, I woke up and I was in a blanket. How do you explain God? How do you explain heaven? What is heaven like? It's not what we've, you know, traditionally. I grew up here, and I, you know, thank God for it. But I grew up hearing that heaven was all about the New Jerusalem. Streets of gold. Matter of fact, they're not streets of gold. They're probably better than gold. Because John was just trying to describe to us what it looked like to him. Gates of pearl. John, that's all he knew to describe it as. And, you know, all the stuff that John described about New Jerusalem was all about, you know, what he could, you know, in earth, he could say, well, this is what it looked like. But that's just the New Jerusalem. And I hear people talking about, you know, I got a mansion in heaven. Well, we're going to have new bodies and we're not going to get tired. Why do you need a mansion? You're not going to need a bed. You're not going to get tired. Matter of fact, we are going to be, it's going to be so beyond anything we can imagine. And I've heard people talk about, you know, I'm going to sit down by the river of life for 1,000 years and all this kind of stuff. Hey, listen, there are things that we never dreamed of out there. God owns the universes. Amen. What it would take light years and light years and light years to get to, when we die, we get to be a part of all that. We possess all that. God has worlds and things that we never even dreamed of. This is just the practice room. We're just practicing. Our vision needs to get beyond right now. We need to get out of the encapsulation of our needs and our wants that we have right now and realize that this is nothing compared to the purpose God has for us. I mean, Jesus, he said, look, I am flesh and bone. Told the disciples, he said, look, a spirit doesn't have flesh and bone. Feel of me, I have flesh and bone. And yet he appeared and disappeared. Matter of fact, later on, Jesus, when he broke bread with these disciples, even though he shared with them the word, he shared with them, you know, from Moses, starting with Moses, shared all about Christ, they still couldn't see until he broke the bread and blessed it, and then their eyes were open and they knew him, and it says that immediately he disappeared. How does flesh and bone disappear? beam me up, Scotty. I mean, we got Star Trek going on here. And you got to understand that the imagination of man is just trying to imagine what it is to be God. When Jesus would literally appear and disappear. When you get into subatomic particles and you start studying all that stuff, you realize that everybody and everything is particles that are put together. But you're just particles. You're energy and particles being held together by laws, the laws of God. God upholds all things by the word of his power. Amen. So all things are held together by the word of his power. Every cell that is every particle that is in creation is always reused in as something different. When wood decays, it goes into the ground and it becomes a plant. It becomes grass. It becomes a bug. Whatever it is, it's always repurposed. And God has this huge, amazing world that we don't know anything about. And that's how Philip went down and was teaching the eunuch about Christ, baptize him, and then it says, and he was not, and he was found somewhere else. All of a sudden, Philip disappeared and was somewhere else. God, let it happen today, because I'm tired of airplanes. Y'all have heard this for years. I've been telling God for a long time, God, I'll just get ready, because the time zone is different. I said, God, I'll just get ready, and I'll go in my office and sit down, and you can just translate me, to Africa. And I can preach in Africa, and then you can just translate me back. Oh, that'd be so much cheaper. Save so much time. Amen. This last trip to the Philippines, that one flight from San Francisco to Singapore. I went through Singapore because they have a direct flight into Davao. I wanted to cut out a couple of flights. And so we flew all the way to Singapore. The only problem with that is you fly over the Philippines and almost 4 more hours you land in Singapore. It didn't click with me. And you can watch the little GPS thing and all of a sudden we start flying over the Philippines and it's like, just let me out. Just let me out. I'll jump. And you still got, then you fly forward. 17 hours we were on that airplane. 17 hours. Imagine, some of y'all think driving 4 hours somewhere in a car is just awful. Imagine 17 hours being stuck in the same seat with about 300 other people. And all that kind of, and I'm... About 13 hours, 12 to 13 hours in, I was saying, God, can we talk? I could have been here and been back by now. Amen. You say, well, that is silly. That is crazy. Not in God's world. See, in God's world, everything is particles and energy held together by laws. Everything is held together by laws. The reason we are formed as a human being is because God created a law, and the 23 chromosomes from your dad and the 23 chromosomes from your mom get together, and all of a sudden you're born, and there's not anybody like you. Amen. Praise God. Matter of fact, I always say that there's three parts to every person. There's a part from dad and his history. There's a part from mom and his history. And then there's the God part that nobody knows where this came from. You look at that child and you think, I don't know where this child came from. That's the God part. That's the new part. That's the creative part of God saying, hey, I can create and I can make new. See, our vision has got to go beyond our vision and purpose, the purpose of our life. We have to start realizing that it's bigger than now. It's bigger than the circumference of what's happening in our life right now. It's so much bigger than that. Amen. So often the things that are going on in our life dominate our attention. Dominate us. When something happens and you're in a lot of pain, minutes are like hours, aren't they? Amen. But when relief comes, I prayed with somebody on the phone the other day that was having these terrible migraines where they go blind in their left eye and all kinds of stuff when they have these migraines. It's really bad. And called and said, it's starting again. And I prayed for them, and immediately it left. They were completely delivered right then. Amen. And about an hour later, I called back and said, "Hey, just want to check on you." They said, "Oh, you don't know what relief is until you get relief." And they said, "What a relief it was for that to just disappear." And all of a sudden, all the pain and instead of going into the migraine, we're going blind and all that kind of stuff. It was just gone. Amen. What an awesome thing when relief comes. See, God doesn't live in our world. God lives in His world. And what He's wanting to do is get us from our little small vision of I was hoping God was going to redeem Israel to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. They wanted God to redeem Israel, and God was saying, "I've got bigger plans than that. I want you to get out of Israel, and I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel." God had a day of Pentecost coming, and He knew what He was going to do. He was going to pour out His Spirit, and they were going to be spread all over the world. Jesus had a purpose and a plan that was bigger than the boundaries of the place He was in. All of us have a purpose and a plan bigger than the boundaries and the circumference of our world, of our life. And you never know when God's going to move you outside of those boundaries, and you're going to end up touching destiny. You're going to end up touching purpose, and then you don't even realize that it's happening. Amen. I forget the story about Billy Graham, but there was a lady or somebody that you know, all of a sudden got outside of the circumference of their world and shared the gospel with Billy Graham, and they didn't realize that they were literally touching thousands of people that day in that little moment. How many times do we wonder if our life matters? I got to tell you something. Your life will matter if you just simply let God move you outside of the circumference of what I need today and realize that God has a purpose for today that is much bigger than what you have. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't remember if I told you last week or whenever, but I have a picture. I might have told you. I'm getting old, so you're just going to have to listen to it again. I've got a picture in my office of a bunch of rebel leaders that we made contact with in the Philippines 13 years ago. And we really wasn't planning on doing that. We were just going up into that area to invite people, tell them that we'd send a truck up there and haul them down to the meetings. And when we were up there, we encountered all these leaders of the NPA, the rebel group that takes hostages and kills people. The ones that was killing people when we was over there this time. We could hear the gun battles and people were being ambushed. And you know, 13 years ago, we ended up making contact with these people. And there were several leaders of the NPA there. And, you know, we didn't know what was going to happen. But for whatever reason, God moved on me to break the ice by trying to slam dunk a basketball. Yeah, I could do that in school. But gravity increased dramatically from the time I was in school till this day. And basketball is a huge thing in the Philippines. And I looked over, you know, it was a little tense. Things was kind of tense because these guys showed up. And things were tense. And me, you know, I'm kind of just, when I'm in places like that, I'm just kind of out there. You know, I'm just going with the flow. I'm totally different than I am here in the United States. I'm just going with the flow and happy to be there. Woo, God, you know, and because I don't know what's going on. Sometimes it's a relief to not know what's going on. You know, just to be totally ignorant. And so I looked over, and this basketball goal looked like it's about 8 feet. And I thought, no problem. I had sandals on that had real cushy bottoms on them. And I picked up this basketball, and I looked at that goal. I looked around all the people, and when I picked up that basketball and looked at that goal, some of them knew the word dunk, and I heard some of them say, dunk, 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 you know, whispering to each other, dunk. You know, the big white American guy's going to dunk it. Well, that just made me feel real good. So I took that basketball. I went running up there, jumped as hard as I could. And this gravity just grabbed hold of me and just would not let go of me. And I pinned that basketball right on the front of the goal. You know, I mean, I'm going full steam with all my weight. And I hit the front of the goal. Well, it flips me where my feet went up in the air like this. I've landed on my back on the ground and just skidded. And I got up, and everybody up there was standing like this. They were all embarrassed for me. And I got up, and I thought, what in the world? What was that about? And so me, being me, I thought, well, I'm going to do that again. I can do that. I know I can do this. And so I grabbed that ball. I went back there. And Brother Jerry Haynes was there. And he said, son, don't let me down. Don't embarrass me here. Don't embarrass me here. I said, I got this. Man, I got this. I took off running. Did exactly the same thing. Pinned that thing on the front of the boat. My legs flipped out. I hit the ground and just slid in the dirt. And I got up and everybody was like this. And I started laughing. When I started laughing, everybody started laughing. I mean, they all started cracking up. And these NPA leaders that were taking hostages at the time, all of a sudden, they were laughing. And for whatever reason, that broke the ice with them. And they took off running. They started hollering, photo, photo. They took off running, went and got their guns, and come running back with their guns. And I'm like, woo, Jesus, here we go. What? Hang on for the ride. And they wanted us to, and I got a picture of me standing in the middle of them with a gun, posing with all these rebel leaders. This time when we were over there, you know, been 13 years since I've been back there, I got to ordain one of the sons of those men that we made contact with that day. Got to ordain him as a pastor. Praise God. Yeah, because most of those leaders gave their life to the Lord that week. They came down with the people, and they gave their lives to the Lord. Many of them were assassinated by the NPA because they tried to get away from them. But I got to ordain one of those guys. I touched destiny that day and didn't even know what I was doing. Amen. Touched destiny. And he shared with this young man shared with me that I think Lynn talked about it when he was here, that a few months ago, however, 4 months ago, 5 months ago, however long it was, he works in a quarry over there. They dig things out by hand. And this big 400 or 500 pound rock got loose and rolled down and smashed him. Broke his back, broke both of his legs, and God healed him. You couldn't even tell that he'd ever been hurt. He didn't limp. He didn't act like he'd been hurt. He was limber. He was strong. He was young. And it was just amazing to watch that. And I wonder today how many people we come in contact with in our little world and don't realize that purpose is right there. It's just within a step. It's just within a reach. It's just within a word. Purpose is right there. And God's purposes that are much bigger than our Israel, our Jerusalem, God's purposes are right there. And we're about to touch God's purpose outside of our world. if we don't learn to enlarge the perspective of who we are, we will always be trapped in the problems of our life. And that will be our goal. Our goal in life will be just to deal with the problems that are confronting me right now. But when you understand purpose, this is, God took me in a totally different direction this morning. When you understand purpose, then you realize that the problems you're dealing with right now actually are not your purpose or your life. They're just stuff you got to deal with. Amen. Cut off the options, get rid of the options, and you'll suddenly begin to realize, I have a purpose. Amen. Get rid of your escape routes. Amen. We got to get rid of our escape routes. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. You got to cut off your escape routes. I know that makes us nervous as Americans because we always want to have a plan B, you know. Well, plan B's a lot of times stop you from accomplishing plan A. Amen. Boy, that's good stuff right there. That's really good. Amen. We get caught up in the fantasies of what could be and never get to what can be. If we're not careful, we dream about what we would like to do, but don't apply ourselves to what we can do. If we just apply ourselves to what we can do, God will take care of the rest of it. Amen. He'll get the rest of it taken care of. Amen. You say, well, you know, my life isn't that, you know, I don't know if God could use me like that. God can use a donkey. Amen. Matter of fact, he said that he could cause rocks to worship. He can use you. You just got to understand that he's so much bigger than what you understand. And all you are is particles and energy stuck together by the law of God for a purpose in a time. Amen. Everybody say, I have purpose in a time. Amen. I have purpose in a time. My purpose and my time belongs to God. And so right now, we might be thinking, well, you know, things... I got so tickled watching that video when that little boy, you know, what was you doing while you was dead? I was playing soccer with a bunch of other kids. Isn't God awesome? Amen. You think, what is heaven? He was playing soccer with a bunch of other kids. That was heaven. Wow. You know, I've often said that God's got a heavenly Harley waiting for me. Not a horse. No. People talk about I'm going to ride a white horse. Horses freak out anytime I get on them. Horses, no. Motorcycle, Harley. I've got a heavenly Harley waiting on me, and I'm not going to need a mansion, and I'm not going to need streets of gold because I have some universes that I'm going to have to take care of. Amen. Praise God. So I'm going to be going a lot of places. Praise God. Don't confine me to some house. I don't care if it's a mansion. I don't care what kind of furniture it's got in it. That's not my world. That's not my heaven. My heaven is freedom. Praise God. Amen. What's your heaven? Some of y'all's heaven is totally different. But see, God has so much greater than what we understand. And our purpose, if we're not careful, we're going to be looking the Creator of all things in the eye and saying, I thought you would be the one that would redeem my little world. And the Creator of all things is looking back in your eyes and saying, actually, I want to move you out of your little world into my big world, where your Jerusalem won't have control over you. Amen. Praise God. God's so much greater, so much bigger than what we can imagine. And today I wonder if God, if Jesus was to attach himself to you on the road of your life, like he did these two disciples, just seemed like random, you know, just randomly attached himself to these two disciples and started talking to them. And later they said, did not our hearts burn within us while he was talking to us? They knew something was up because his words had an impact on them. But then all of a sudden their eyes were open when he blessed the bread and broke it. All of a sudden their eyes were open and they knew him. They saw beyond and they ran back to the rest of them and said, he's alive. He just met us. We just talked to him. He's alive. All of a sudden, they were outside of their little world. And they come back to the 11 and come running in there and said, he's alive. We saw him. He met with us. He talked with us. And their response was, we won't believe it unless we see him ourselves. See, a lot of times when God starts doing something in your life and you share it with other people, their response isn't exactly encouraging and what you think it ought to be, because they're still in the bubble. God took you outside of your bubble. You can see outside, but they're still in the bubble. So don't get worried about that, because God's going to show himself. And Jesus followed them back. And as they're telling the disciples, all of a sudden Jesus shows up and says, here I am. Feel my hands. Put your hand in the wound in my side. I'm flesh and blood. Give me something to eat. I'll eat it. Prove it to you. Amen. What an awesome God. What an awesome world we live in today. Stand with me if you would today. Resurrection life is so much bigger than what we understand. So much bigger than what we can wrap our minds around. I wonder what God could really do if we could just simply let him do it. Amen. If we could just believe. I talk all the time about that translation thing. You know, that's just something, that's a dream. You know, that's something. One of these days God's gonna do that, whether I'm in this body or another body. But I wonder what I would think if all of a sudden that happened. You know? I wonder what I'd think. I wonder what you'd think if I showed up here on Sunday morning and I was sweaty and dirty because I'd been preaching somewhere in Africa or India or somewhere, and come walking out here and y'all wonder what in the world's wrong with Pastor. You know what? I wouldn't tell you. Because if God starts doing things like that, I'm not going to ruin it by talking about it. Amen. We're just going to keep it up. You say, Pastor, you're silly. No, I just know that the resurrection power of Jesus Christ is so much greater than our little world and our circumference. And we have such a greater purpose than what we apply ourselves to.